Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, you may go ahead and be seated at this time. We're actually not going to be dismissing our children this morning for kids' church in that. We are going to be having them in our service here with us this morning. In fact, we've got several of them that are going to be participating in the other half of our service that we're going to be having at the Open Hearth Lodge, the actual baptismal service. So we thought it would be good for our children to stay in this morning and to be blessed to understand too what we're about to do. You know, I remember when, you know, my kids would see that, you know, we did our early ones we did in the lake in Green Bay when we, you know, started up as Door of Life, and then we've been able to do several here at the Open Hearth Lodge, which has worked out really well too. So, but it always kind of sparks a little curiosity when kids see other kids get to go in the pool and they can't go in the pool. And sometimes they wonder why that is. It doesn't seem quite fair. So we thought it would be a good time. I know that's going on in my little daughter's head right now. She's wondering about that. So it's just really a good time for young people, old people of all ages, to just kind of understand baptism, understand what it is, why we do it, and just the amazing blessing that accompanies baptism this morning. Like we said, this is going to be a pretty quick service. We're going to be wrapping up. We're going to be out of here by like around 11 o'clock, if that seems possible to you, but it actually is going to happen. Maybe 11:05 tops, but right around 11. So this morning, we're going to be looking at baptism. We're going to just look at a scripture, and this is really kind of the scripture that is the main theme scripture that we're looking at this morning, because the first thing that we find out about baptism is that it was, in fact, a command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples in connection with preaching the gospel. And before Jesus left, these were like his parting words. One of the parting words he said before he went up to be with the Father. It says in Matthew chapter 28:18, says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is something that Jesus told his disciples to do when they preached the gospel. He said, have people, when they believe, be baptized. Now that word baptized in the Greek is baptismo, which means to immerse, to submerge, to dunk, however you want to put that, where a person would actually go down in waters, in the waters of baptism, and then come back out. Now, I know there's a lot of different church persuasions and between sprinkling and being submersed and things like that, but the importance to understand why a person, when they're baptized, they go all the way down in the water and they come back out, it's because it symbolizes something that happens to us. Okay, it's not just a matter of getting water, but you're actually demonstrating, it's a visual of what happens. Now, here's kind of a little, just a little anecdote, a story of a child. Now, this is a four-year-old little girl, keep in mind. As a minister, I conduct my baptismal services. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One Sunday, my family and I went to a friend's home in the country. Our four children went outside to play with the others. After a short while, we heard only silence and wondered what the children were up to. We found them behind a barn, quietly playing church. Our 4-year-old daughter, Susan, was conducting the baptismal service. She held a cat over a barrel of water, trying to be as serious as her dad. She repeated the phrase she had heard him say many times, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the hole you go." Now, that little girl was probably not quite ready to be baptized at that point. She probably needed a little bit more instruction. But she saw, from her child perspective, this really amazing thing where you take a person, in this case it was her cat, but you take a person and you go into the water and you come back out. Now, you're not under the water for a long time. It's very quick. But it represents something. It shows something. And this is the amazing thing. When we talk about becoming a Christian and preaching the gospel and telling the people of good news, of God's love, you know that in what is the message? What is the gospel? It's the fact that God became a man in the person of Jesus, all right? We read the story of his amazing teachings, the miracles, healing the blind eyes, raising Lazarus from the dead, and doing all that amazing stuff. But at the end of his life on this earth, he went and he died on that cross for all of our sins. And so what that means is that when he died on that cross, everything we ever did wrong, the punishment for everything we ever did wrong was put on him while he was on the cross so that we could be forgiven of everything we ever done wrong. It's an amazing, it's good news that where our sin took place, the bad things we did, his love and grace and forgiveness was even greater. And so what we're looking at is just the fact that God forgave us in Jesus. And it was an amazing, amazing thing. It's a beautiful story. And so we'll tell people the good news that God loves them. And we'll say, do you want to believe on Jesus so you can have your sins forgiven? Do you want to believe that he died on that cross for your sins? God raised him from the dead. And he's with the Father. And that when you believe on Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you're going to be with him in heaven someday. That's the good news. A child hears that good story, that message. We hear that story, that message, the gospel, the truth. We believe on it. We choose to believe on it. We believe God loved us. And when that happens, something changes. Something wonderful. Jesus told a guy, a teacher back in their day called Nicodemus, he said, you got to be born again. And that's what happens when people believe the gospel. They're born again. But if you look at a person who's believed the gospel, they look the same after they believe the gospel as they did before they believed the gospel. You can't tell just by looking at a person's body that there's been any change. However, when a person believes that Jesus died on that cross for their sins and they call on him as their Lord and their Savior, something does happen. But it happens on the inside that your eyes can't see. But the person on the inside becomes changed, brand new. And this is what the Bible tells us happens. It says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new has begun. So that's what happens when we become, when we believe in Jesus, we become a new person. The old is gone, the new has come. In fact, that person on the inside is the one who controls your body. You know, my hand is moving up and down right now, but it's not doing it by itself. The person on the inside is telling him to do that. There's somebody you can't see. In fact, I could do something else right now, and you don't know what it is by looking at me, but the person on the inside knows exactly what I'm going to do next. Okay? But there's a person in here, all right? You can't see with your eyes, who's controlling this body. That part of you became brand new. But when I believed in Jesus, it became brand new, but you couldn't see it with your eyes. So what baptism does is it gives us a picture of what took place on the inside. Now, what does the Bible say? It says the old life is gone and the new has begun. Here's a few other scriptures. Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the way the Bible pictures this is that old person that didn't know God, that old person died and became a brand new person in Jesus, or what Jesus called being born again. And here's another scripture that talks about it. For you were buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So what it is a picture, and this person on the inside, before they knew Jesus, they had all their sin. And after they received Jesus, their sin was gone. And so what it's a picture of, when you put somebody down in the water, it's like their old sinful person is being buried. In the same way Jesus was crucified and he died on that cross, it's like we died, that old person on the inside of us died with him. And then in the same way Jesus was raised up from the dead, we celebrated that last week with Easter, we're also raised up to this new person on the inside, okay? So when you see a person go down in those waters, that's the old sinful person who didn't have the forgiveness of sins, dying. And when they come up out of the water, that's the new forgiven person that's been made alive and brand new in Jesus. So it gives us a actual something that we can see that represents what happened on the inside. And that's helpful because when a person believes in Jesus, like we said, you can't see it on the outside, but something wonderful happens on the inside. So baptism just kind of lets us see a picture kind of what happened on the inside. And then finally, Romans says, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Jesus, Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. That's the old man, the old person with their sin going down in the waters. And that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Okay? So it's this picture of kind of down, the old man is going down in that grave and he's coming up a brand new person. And so water baptism gives us a picture of that happening. Now, it's important to understand, too, that, you know, baptism isn't something that we're not saved because we were baptized, okay? We're baptized because we've believed on Jesus. I'm not going to heaven because I got baptized. I'm getting baptized because I'm going to heaven. You can think about like a police officer, all right? A police officer wears special clothes that you can see that he's a police officer. But he doesn't wear, he's not a police officer because he wears those special clothes. He wears those special clothes because he is a police officer, okay? And it's the same with you. You're not getting baptized to be a Christian. You're getting baptized because you already are a Christian. So it's showing you something. It's giving you a chance to see it, you know, what has already happened on the inside of you. So it's important to understand that. It's a little bit like, too, like a wedding ring, okay? When I look at a wedding ring, this is just something physical in the natural that you can see. But it represents something, doesn't it? It represents that I've made a commitment and a decision, and I'm committed, and I love my wife, Julie. And this is what that ring represents. And it's something that you can see on the outside, all right? And it's just something that we do as a demonstration of that relationship. That everybody can see. And that's what baptism is too. It's a little bit like your wedding ring with Jesus. It's something you're doing on the outside that everybody can see. This is a public declaration of my love and commitment to Julie. In the same way, baptism is a public declaration of your love and your commitment to Jesus. It's like saying, I love you, Jesus, and I want the whole world to know it. I want the whole world to see. And the powerful thing too about just being baptized is when you get baptized, it really settles the fact that you are a believer in Jesus. Sometimes when a person will believe in Jesus, they'll make that decision, they'll be forgiven, they may even feel peace and joy and know that they're forgiven, but then after a few days, a few weeks, they might do some wrong things, they might feel bad, they might, you know, think, oh no, did I even really ever believe? Sometimes people can be confused about their own faith in Christ sometimes because of how they feel. And they really wonder, did they really ever seriously believe or not? Well, one of the things baptism does is it makes drives a stake in the ground. It makes it absolutely definite that you have believed. So when you are baptized and you say, yes, I believed in Jesus, and you go down in the baptism waters and you come back up, that is a statement you've made to the whole world. Then, in a week or two, if you're having a bad day or a bad week and you're feeling bad and you're wondering, did I ever believe? Yes, I believed. I was baptized. I declared it. I am a believer in Jesus. Your faith isn't based on how you feel, all right? But baptism gives us something physical, natural that we can look at and know that yes, because the enemy tries to put thoughts in our head that we never really believed. Well, when you've really believed and you've really been water baptized, then you know that you have believed, and it's a point in time that you can say, yes, on April 3rd, 2016, I believed it, I declared it, and I went down in baptism, and I'm a believer in Jesus. That's a blessing. It helps you in your faith. Also, for other people, too. Sometimes, you know, people, when people will pass away, you don't always know where people are at spiritually. Like we said, you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but I'll tell you this. Somebody who has been water baptized since they believed, you have no question, you have no doubt as far as where they are, you know, as they pass from this life to the next. You know that they've made that declaration, that statement. So water baptism is not only a blessing to you for your own decision, but it's also a blessing for others after you too. You know that after you leave this, you've had your time on this earth, that they know, not only that you know, but they know that you know, that you've believed in Jesus. So it's a blessing to be water baptized in so many ways. So God gave us this for our own blessing, for our own benefit, to help our faith, all right? And there is such a blessing. Jesus said, when you declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. And people who have been water baptized know that there's a special blessing that comes with, I believe you, Jesus. I trust you, just declaring him publicly. There is a blessing that you experience in your own spirit of God saying, yes, and I'm declaring you before the angels in heaven, I'm declaring you too. You just know that in your own heart. It's hard to put into words what you experience when you make that public declaration, but there's a blessing that absolutely goes along with it. And then probably the other question that I get regarding baptism, water baptism, is what is the right age to be water baptized? The main thing about water baptism in terms of the right age, there's not a hard number that you have to be the right age, but there are some things that need to be there to be water baptized as far as, you know, what should happen, what should take place. Number one is that a person who's going to be water baptized needs to understand basically why they are a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, the good news. They need to understand that Jesus came to this earth to die on that cross for their sins, and that God raised him from the dead, and that when they believe in Jesus, that they're forgiven of everything, of all the wrong things they've ever done because of God's grace and forgiveness. They just need to understand what Jesus did on that cross, the gospel, the good news, why and how they're forgiven, the basic essence of the gospel. And why is it important to understand these things? Because when a person gets older in life and they look back on their baptism, you want them to know that they knew what they were doing. You want them to be sure that they made that clarification and understanding, because that is going to help them later on, because we're really doing this for their sake. Now, when I was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran Church, okay, when I was first baptized. And let me say this to you, to those of you who've been baptized, as you know, people have been baptized as infants. Sometimes people will be negative and critical about that. I'm not at all negative and critical about people when they're baptized as infants. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing. It's a positive. What that means is that means your parents cared enough to dedicate you to God as a young person. And that's really kind of what we have at Door of Life, is what we call a baby dedication. And it's kind of based on this passage. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Praise God. Jesus loved, cared for those little children. They weren't bothering him. They weren't taking up his time. He purposed to bless them and to individually lay his hands on them. What a beautiful picture of Jesus' love for the children. And that's what we would have at Door of Life. We'd call it a dedication service. A young child, a parents will bring the young child, and we'll agree with that those parents and that child for a blessed life and to come to the knowledge of Jesus and to just have their steps ordered to the Lord, walk in that divine provision, protection, what we would call a baby dedication. And really, a lot of what we had in our terms of our infant baptism were very much like a baby dedication. It was our parents wanting to acknowledge God in all their ways, including this child, that he would direct their paths. So don't ever let a baptism, believe and be baptized, take away from that experience. Honor your father and mother. Thank you, mom and dad, for doing that. But what we find in Scripture is in terms of, you know, the New Testament baptism process is that you would believe and you'd be baptized. So there would need to be an understanding of the gospel. Not only would there need to be an understanding of the gospel, but there would also need to be a desire, a willingness to want to be baptized. You know, because sometimes it's another thing that'll hang other people up is they look back in their baptism and did I want this or was I doing this to make somebody else happy or to get somebody off my back or why was I doing this? There should be a desire there. Here's a great story in the book of Acts that really captures all of these things when it comes to baptism. And this is, let me set it up a little bit. There was an evangelist back 2,000 years ago. His name was Philip. He's walking along. He sees a chariot driving by, and there is a guy on there who's reading the Bible, and the Lord speaks to Philip and says, hey, go over to that chariot. Philip goes over to the chariot. The guy's reading out of the book of Isaiah, an Old Testament book, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading there? And the guy says, I don't know. How can I understand unless somebody helps me? Well, that was all the evangelist needed to hear, and he said, well, all right. Let me help you understand it. So that's kind of where the story picks up here. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him, to this guy in the chariot. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Then he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. So here we have a guy who had Jesus preached to him, and he was asking him, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you can. And he said, I believe. So he heard the gospel, he believed the gospel, and he had a desire to be baptized. He wanted to be baptized. And when you begin to see those things, that's why you talk about children, those are really the three things you're looking for. Do they understand the gospel? Do they understand the message? Have they really believed and trusted in that for their salvation? And number three, is there a desire to want to be baptized? If there's a desire to want to be baptized, that's a good sign that they've understood. And you can kind of talk with your child and say, do you understand? And kind of walk them through to get the basic understanding of the gospel. If they basically understand it and they believe, then, you know, the gospel is simple, right? Jesus said we've got to humble ourselves as a little child, enter the kingdom of God. So for us old people, we got to get uncomplicated enough to realize how simple it is and realize it's not a big, high technical thing, but when a child understands the basics of the gospel, they believe and they have a desire to be baptized, that's a good indicator that they could be ready to be baptized. I'm just kind of speaking to parents as having been a parent and kind of walking through this with my children as well, too. So that's an important thing to understand. Again, there's not really a magic number. It's really when you kind of discern that, yep, my children understand, they get it, and there's a desire. A lot of time your children will kind of come to you and say, you know, I really have a desire. I really feel like this is something that I should do. And so it's just something to listen to, pray about, and then just kind of follow up and talk to your child about, you know, what do you think? Now, we've talked about children. Let's talk more about adults a little bit. Probably baptized, you know, close to as many adults as children through the years, big picture, because a lot of us adults, myself included, we were baptized as infants, or maybe we were baptized under circumstances where it really wasn't in connection with the revelation of God's love. It was other mitigating circumstances that we felt maybe pressured or coerced. Our baptism doesn't really reflect that decision in our life. And this is where it's very personal, individual, between you and God. Because I'm not going to take away from anything you may have done for God back then. But if the Holy Spirit in you is dealing with you, you know, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with it with you, it'll keep coming back to your spirit. Say, you know, that's just something I need to do. That's just something that I need to do. I really need to declare it once and for all that I love Jesus, that I am born again, that I make a public declaration of my faith. Now, important to understand this. Baptism is not a rededication service, okay? It's not where I'm rededicating my life for Christ and now I'm really living for you. Baptism is something you only do one time. The new birth is something that only happens one time. You're only born again once, and you're only baptized once, technically. I mean, you're not supposed to get baptized over and over. Every time you feel bad, get baptized. Not at all. That baptism represents a one-time event that happened to you on the inside. Thank God there's a throne of grace that we can go to anytime when we need mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't have to get baptized over and over and over. So sometimes people can emotionally confuse this and say, I feel bad. I feel like I need to get baptized. No. You're only baptized one time, and that was at the point you know you believed and trusted. Now, if you look back on your baptismal experience and say, I don't really know that that was really the point in time that I really believed and trusted, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, then yeah, maybe you want to be baptized. If that's your case, I'll tell you, you'll be blessed by being baptized. Driving that stake in the ground, publicly declaring it, there's a blessing that'll happen. It'll energize your faith in a way that is a powerful, you know, a powerful grace that'll come on your life just by obeying Jesus in that. So I will just say those are some of the different areas of questions that I get. At the end of the day, it's important for you to understand that the Holy Spirit will kind of make that clear to you, whether it's something you should do. And if he's dealing with you to do it, don't be afraid of that. The Holy Spirit leads you into paths of righteousness. It'll be a path of blessing and strength. It'll bless your faith. It'll go, wow, praise God. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's hard to put into words, but, you know, if you've been baptized, you get it. I like to kind of close with this story. This is a great story. And this is kind of a story about the person later in their years who got baptized. Let's see. This is the story of Paul Harvey. One summer, Paul Harvey wrote in a Guidepost magazine about his own baptism. He said that even though he had received almost every reward for broadcasting, for his broadcasting ability, that he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. Sunday morning, he came, and they decided to go to church. So they went to this little church, and there were only 12 other people present. He believed in Jesus, but he had never gone forward in a church service. One night, he had prayed in his hotel room and asked Jesus to come into his heart, but he felt that there was still something that was missing. He said that the preacher got up and announced that his sermon was going to be about baptism. Paul Harvey said, I yawned, but as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it. The preacher was talking about how it symbolizes the complete surrender, that there was nothing really magic in the water, but there was this cleansing inside that took place when you yield yourself to Jesus. He went on to say, finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, he said, if any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit. Paul Harvey said, to my surprise, I found myself going forward. The preacher had said there was nothing magic in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened, a cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys, but just one immensely happy one. I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life. Paul Harvey went on, the change this simple act made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs. And again, that's really the powerful thing. You know, you get this, am I saved, am I not saved? You get water baptized, it's like, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved by faith, but I know I'm saved. I've declared it. I've been water baptized. That decision it's like a sealing, you know, where it just energizes, focuses that decision of your faith in Christ. And so, water baptism, it's a public declaration of your faith in Jesus. What is it? It's being physically immersed in water and then raised up. The old spiritual self dies. That new spiritual self is born. It's a picture of that. What is the right age? A person just needs to understand the gospel. They need to have made a decision to believe it, and then a person desires to obey Jesus' command to be baptized. So it's really that simple. It's not supposed to be a complicated thing, something that can happen immediately after a person receives Christ. It's nothing you graduate into. It's just a simple response that you give on your part as a result of the gospel and the love that God has shown you through Jesus. So it's our way of really responding to that love. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day, for this service. And just, Lord, for the baptisms that are going to happen today, Father, as people make that decision to declare publicly their faith in Jesus and to show publicly, Lord, like that wedding ring, their public commitment of love to you, and to also demonstrate visually what happened on the inside of them. They got born again. That old sinful self died and went down, and the brand new clean self rose up in you. You changed us on the inside. We thank you for that understanding of baptism. And we just pray your blessing, your peace, your grace on each one here that is going to be baptized in this place. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.